Blog Talk Radio.
What's up, everybody? Welcome to another edition of Sports Urban Legend. Along with my co-host, Macaulay Matthew, I'm, of course, William Ramo. What's up, Mac? How you doing?
Hey, what's up? How's it going out there, people?
Hopefully everybody's doing all right, man. I'm doing okay. Glad to have you on the show. I'm glad to be talking to, the people who's been following the show since 09, and maybe even the people who's listening to the show for the first time ever, so... I want to thank you all for listening to another episode of Sports Urban Legend. On today's show, we're going to be talking about what's going on with the Yankees, the Mets, and also in addition to you giving your personal story about your experience at Yankee Stadium and witnessing your first doubleheader. We're going to lead off with that. Talk about the NBA draft. And how it affected, how it affected Knicks.
The lottery.
The lottery. And what's going on in the NBA. And a little WWE news, our preview of the Backlash pay-per-view event coming up tomorrow night. And maybe some surprises here and there. But as always, I want to thank you guys for listening to the show. And without further ado, let's lead off with a little baseball. And, let's talk on the Yankees. The Yankees, they're trying to salvage, losers of the first two games of this series. They're trying to win that last game tomorrow. And, obviously they're battling the Rays. And, But the bigger news with the Yankees was this past Sunday when a Yankee great, Derek Jeter, and obviously a Met killer, he finally took his rightful place in Monument Park, and he had his number 2 retired. So congratulations to him. And I know somebody who's a huge Yankee fan, of course, I am talking about Derek Jeter's number 1 fan. No, I'm not even talking about Hannah Davis. I'm talking about Macaulay Matthew right here. And he got to witness the game firsthand. So without further ado, I'm going to give you the imaginary floor and you tell us your experience.
Yeah, man. As you said, it was Derek Jeter. He finally got his jersey retired by the Yankees last Sunday. And I had the chance to go see the game and the ceremony, and the it was a doubleheader that day because of the previous game on the previous day got rained out. So anyone who had tickets for the game on Sunday was able to see the doubleheader game that was scheduled in the early afternoon. So I got the chance to go first doubleheader, first time. The first game the Yankees won, of course. Then got to see the Derek Jeter ceremony, which was great. I mean, see him get honored, it was a great sight to see. He's meant so much to the Yankees franchise, all he's done as far as being the face of the Yankees for, 15 years or so, and leading them to the postseason and winning the championships and all the other accolades and, other off-field things that he's done. It's a great achievement, and it was well-deserving. It's great now that you could say that Derek Jeter is one of the all-time Yankee greats. That was great to see. And, after the ceremony, stuck around for the second game, which the Yankees ended up losing, unfortunately. I didn't stay for the whole game. I left, around the fifth or sixth inning. By that time, it was around 10 o'clock. So I wanted to make sure I got home, in time before the trains got crazy. But, overall, the doubleheader, it was great. You know, I got the chance to, tour around the stadium because, there was some time between the games where I could go around the stadium, see different things. I got to go to the museum, see some of the Yankee artifacts and some of the, jerseys and autograph balls and, different things there. I took some pictures as well. I wanted to go to Monument Park, but unfortunately it was closed because, of course they had to close it down because that's where Derek Jeter's number was going to be retired. So unfortunately I didn't get to go there, but hopefully next time I'll get to go. And, but yeah, I mean, overall it was fun, and I could one day tell my kids, I got to see my first doubleheader game and the Derek Jeter ceremony. I'll tell my kids, you're probably not going to ever see a doubleheader in your lifetime, maybe. So, yeah. It was great. It was great, man.
And, I thought of this, a few days ago. I'm putting you on the spot, man. I know you're a huge Yankee fan. But do you know how many numbers are retired at Yankee Stadium thanks to Derek Jeter?
How many numbers overall?
Yeah. How many people have been retired? How many people have been retired?
Damn,
by Yankees.
I would take a let me see. I can't even count. I'd probably say it's close to 30, maybe. Maybe 20 to 30. I would say. I can't give you a definite number.
That's a very good guess. You're in the ballpark. No pun intended. But you want another final answer?
Yeah, go ahead.
The answer is 22.
Oh, okay. Damn, that seems low.
Right, so here's.
That's a low number for the number of Yankee greats.
Oh yeah, but I think only Cardinals or Dodgers have probably more numbers retired. I mean, Yankees numbers 22 is a lot. I mean, I know.
True.
That's
true.
What the Yankees have been around since 1901, and then they changed their name from the Highlanders to the Yankees in 1903. But 22 is a lot. After Jeter again retired this Sunday. And, let's play this Yankee game, and we're going to guess who they are and the number with the Yankees game. All right. Well, hello, Macaulay. Are you ready to play the game?
Sure.
All right. Number one, who's retired with the okay, how about you tell me the numbers and then the person. I gave you one, no pun intended. Who is it? And this could be a player or a manager.
Wow. You want me to give you a number or year? The actual jersey number, you mean?
No, not the jersey number and the player.
Wow. Now I'm gonna have to think hard.
Give
now.
Me one. You could give me the person, and then you have to guess the number.
Okay. Okay. I give you the number and you guess the person, or you give me the person and I guess the number.
Okay, I'm confused. All right, give me any name, and then you'll guess the number, or do you want me to say the number? And you guess who it is?
Give me the player, give me the number, and I will guess the player.
Okay, I'll give you the number. All right. Number one. Who is number one? The retired number. From the New York Yankees.
Number one.
We might have to do a multiple choice on this. Let's do a multiple choice because my mind's gonna go blank when we play.
I give you two guesses.
Okay.
I give you a clue. This person might be a manager, or a player. Well, or it could be a common, or the person could be a combination of the two.
Manager.
Depending on who it is.
Manager or player. Number one. What year did they play? Or manage?
All right, let's see. I'll tell you the day they got retired. I can give you a ballpark when they played.
Okay.
This person got his number retired on August 10th of 1986. He's a four-time world champion. And I can't give you this clue. If I give you this clue, you'll easily know who this person is.
Wow, number one. Who's number one again? 1986, right?
That's when the number was retired. All right, if I give you, you're gonna know. It's gonna be too easy for you.
No, don't tell me. Don't tell me. Number
one. Remember this is a half hour show.
I know, right? Damn it! I wasn't even prepared for this. Okay, no, we gotta do it. Okay, give me another clue. Give me another clue.
Okay.
Give me some type of milestone, you know?
Okay, this person knows George Steinbrenner very well.
Billy Martin.
On and off the field. I knew if you didn't know this, if I didn't give you that clue, I knew you wouldn't. That is correct. It is Billy Martin. Batting number two.
Billy Martin was number one? Seriously? Wow, I forgot that.
He was number one. And he played for the Yankees, and, of course, he managed the Yankees to their championship run in 1977. And he was...
And as a player,
also infamously fired five times, hired and rehired by Steinbrenner.
Right.
During the Bronx's burning days. Of course, I know you know his number two. I'll even give you the answer. Of course, it's Derek Jeter. So let's go to number three, which I know you know who that is also.
Okay.
I know you know who number three is with the retired number.
Oh, of course. That's the roof.
Of course.
Give me two more.
What?
Number four?
Give you two more what?
Yeah, give me two more players, two more numbers.
Oh, I'm giving you the whole shebang.
Oh yeah, okay.
Who's number four?
number four. Give me a clue here.
Okay, four. He's nicknamed the Iron Horse.
Oh, Lou Gehrig. Number
five. You know this guy. He's the Yankee Clipper.
That's what I call that's what I call the man downstairs. when I'm with girls, DiMaggio.
Okay, let's go to number six. You know who this guy is? He's a former player, but not with the Yankees. He's a former player manager with the Mets, but that's not that's irrelevant. This guy managed the Yankees. Yep, to multiple titles. Yes, you are correct. It is Joe Torre.
All right.
Number seven. You know who this guy is?
Number seven. Give me a clue.
He's arguably the greatest switch hitter of all time.
Oh, Mickey Mantle. Mickey Mantle.
That is correct. Number eight. Now, this is a tricky one. Two men have held this number. The first one, you'll definitely know who's number eight.
Oh, that's only two
and
players in Yankee history.
Yes.
Only two players in Yankee history.
And
this was something I saw in the museum. This is Bill Dickey and
Yogi Berra. Well, I know you know that anyway. So, and number nine, he's synonymous with one of the players that I just mentioned moments ago. This guy hit the most home runs in Yankee history. You know
Roger Maris.
Is. That is correct. And number 10, one of the greatest positional players in Yankee history.
Number 10.
He's number 10.
Number 10.
Great. He's also as great as he was on the field. He was also great in his retirement with the Yankees. The Scooter is his nickname.
Oh, Phil Rizzuto.
Correct. And number 15, you know, that's a very legendary Yankee. His career got cut short because of a tragedy. You know who that is, obviously.
Yeah, Thurman Munson.
That is correct. And then, of course, a legendary Yankee pitcher at number 16.
There's not many pitchers.
You know who he is.
Yeah, there's not many pitchers that got their number retired, so that's Whitey Ford.
That is correct. Number 20, you know who that is.
Sada.
One of the core four members. Yep, that is correct. Number 23, arguably the greatest Yankee player that never won a championship.
Don Mattingly, the Hitman.
That is correct. Number 32, a memorable Yankee, started his career in, I think, 55, if my memory serves me right. But the Dodgers won that year. And, of course, you know, this guy is a memorable Yankee.
What was the number again?
32.
Guidry? No, it's not Guidry. What's you said he was
He's
a memorable Yankee.
Yeah, he made history. That should be a clue for you.
Oh, yeah, this is what I texted you.
Yes,
the first brother
exactly.
on the Yankees, Elston Howard.
Elston Howard, that is correct.
First
and
black player on the Yankees.
This guy is the only human in baseball history to be retired by both the Mets and the Yankees because of his accomplishment.
Oh, Casey Stengel.
That is correct. The old professor himself. Number 42. We all know who this is. The Sandman.
Mariano.
Mo Rivera. That's correct. Number 44. You know who this guy is. He was a memorable slugger.
Reggie.
Played for Oakland A's. Reggie Jackson. Number 46. Another guy you're very familiar with.
Pennant.
A guy who won you a lot of pennants. That is correct. Andy Pettit. Number 49, he's known as Louisiana Lightning.
Guidry.
That is correct. And last but not least is number 51. I know you know who he is.
Bernie Williams. That's the only guy that's left,
correct.
I think, on this list.
That is correct. Great. You did well. I'll tabulate the score after the show, but you did pretty well.
Didn't we retire Steinbrenner himself?
In the back. They put his – yeah, but he doesn't have a number. They just put him on Monument Park.
Oh. Because when he said number one, I was thinking, is it George Steinbrenner number one?
Hmm.
But then again, yeah.
Well, he's number one to the Yankee fans.
Yeah.
You know, of the modern era. But, yes, Billy Martin is number one, you know, and a fan favorite as a player and also as a manager.
Yeah.
But you did pretty well. But switching gears, we were talking about memorable Yankees. Well, here's a Met milestone. Today marked Terry Collins surpassing Davey Johnson as the Mets' all-time leading manager in history. Tenured manager with, 1,013 games managed as a Met. Congratulations to him. In today's game, Mets won, 7-5. It was a nail-biter. Wheeler pitched well. But during that game, Jose Reyes knocked his 2,000 hit. So congratulations to him. And, today was a nail-biting game. I mean, Wheeler pitched well. he kind of ran out of gas in the sixth inning, leaving the bases loaded, nobody out. But Salas, you know, he limited the damage. I think he gave up, what, 2 runs in that inning? And then the Mets, Reyes also had like a 2-run, what, double or so in the game later on in the eighth, I think. So, you know, the Mets were able to hold on to a 7-5 victory when they the Angels had the bases loaded, nobody out, with Trout coming up to the plate, and they got him to pop up for the first out.
Wow.
And you know, after that, the Mets were able to retire, you know, all the guys, and and had Espinoza strike out for the last out. And Addison Reed did something that he never did. Usually when he finishes an inning, you know, in the eighth or close the game in the ninth, he's just stoic. He just walks on the mound like, you know, he's a professional, like he's used to it.
Yeah.
But man, when he struck out Espinoza, who had 4 hits, I think he had 4 hits against him. No, I think he struck him out 4 times. Career hit he gave up to him was a home run. So after he struck him out, I think with a full count, I think the bases was loaded also, he smiled. He broke character and you know, gave a smile, a huge smile, which you can't blame the guy.
Yeah.
Big out. And he saved the game. Mets won the first 2 games of this series. They won Friday night 3-0. DeGrom went 7 innings. He pitched well, obviously. And, you know, Mets, after a horrible road trip they had, you know, this past week, they really need to bounce back from that horrible road trip where they finished 0-6. And the bullpen giving up runs left and right. But, you know, hopefully the Mets can hold on the fort. Cespedes should be coming back soon. And then, of course, the eventual major league debuts of Amed Rosario and Dominic Smith in the future. So, you know, kudos to the Mets. And hopefully they could, you know, put the brooms on, you know, and sweep the Angels right out of Citi Field. But shifting gears, let's talk NBA. And obviously we know the Warriors, they're as we speak, they're putting a whooping on the Spurs. You know, that game, you know, the Spurs are going to go down most likely in this game.
Yeah, Kawhi.
As of right now, the score is 118-103. Warriors, and looks like the Warriors are going to put the brooms on them by the next game, and of course the Clippers and Cavaliers, I think they're going to face each other tomorrow night, and of course Cavaliers and Celtics are going to play tomorrow night, and Cavaliers have a 2-0 lead on them, and as we suspected before the season even started, as soon as Durant he left the Thunder to go to the Warriors. We basically, like on July 4th, we knew this would be the matchup for the NBA Finals. Obviously, it's not official yet, but you know, both the Warriors and the Cavs are about to put the brooms on the Spurs and the Celtics. So it's a done deal, basically. Other news, what were you going to say?
Oh, and I was going to say that, yeah, I mean, both teams, both the Cavaliers and the Warriors, they haven't lost a game in this postseason yet, and both of them have been blowing out these teams in the conference finals. Last night, the Cavs won by almost 40-something points, and it looks like Isaiah Thomas, the top player for the Celtics, he's going to be out for the remaining of the playoffs because he injured his hip, I think. And Kawhi Leonard for the Spurs, it looks like he may not play for the rest of this Spurs series either. So both the Cavs and the Warriors are on a collision course to face each other, and no, both of them haven't lost yet. You know, they haven't lost any game.
Absolutely. Yeah, and Celtics is having a phenomenal season. You know, it looks like it's definitely going to come to an end in a sweep by the Cavs by next week. And obviously Isaiah Thomas is going through, you know, a hard time. You know, obviously he's injured. He's going to be out for the rest of this postseason. And not to mention, not too long ago he lost his sister, which you know, Charles Barkley infamously commented about him being uncomfortable with him, you know, grieving in public about, you know, his sister passing away. You know, the Celtics, you know, they're doing, you know, aside from that, the Celtics are doing pretty well. I mean, you know, obviously they're facing a brick wall called the Cleveland Cavaliers, thanks to LeBron James and the rest. But yeah, on the draft, they, as I suspected, unfortunately, they won the draft lottery. Lakers won number two, and 76ers won number three. So it's like 3 years in a row that the Lakers and the Cavaliers finish in the top three. Yep. 3 years in a row, I believe it was. And it's just so ironic that the two premier franchises in the NBA, as in, you know, the Celtics and the Lakers, they are the top two teams that won the lottery. I mean, it seems, you know, it seems very conspiracy theorist, like the NBA is rigged.
Then again, the Knicks are supposed to be one of the premier teams in the
obviously
NBA,
yeah.
But you know, I mean, they should have been in the top three if that was
absolutely
the case.
Absolutely. As a matter of fact, last year they should have got the number two pick, but who leapfrogged over them last year? Oh, I think that was the LA Lakers. And then what happened? This NBA lottery draft, the Knicks were tied with the Timberwolves for the sixth spot. What happened? Flip the coin. Who won? Of course, Timberwolves won. So that dropped Knicks to seventh. Knicks were expected to pick seven. What happened? They dropped down to eight. So they potentially could have been six if they had a coin flip, and but unfortunately they didn't, and they dropped down to eight. And now the Knicks, you know, Phil Jackson has to show how resourceful he is. Basically, I believe Ginobili was picked up in the second round or eighth or something like that. I can't remember. You know, there's been some good players picked in the eighth spot, so, you know, or lower. So, you know, Phil Jackson has to show his expertise. And I think he's going to draft that French guy, Frank Natatu, whatever it is with the N. I can't remember his name. You know, they're definitely going to draft a point guard for sure. So, you know, we'll see what happens. Fultz is most likely going to be number one, a two-way player on the defense and the offensive end. Or even what's his name? Lonzo Ball.
Yeah.
I think he's gonna be in the top two. You know, most like the rumor is that he's not gonna work out for anybody other than the Lakers. And of course, you know, his father is he's becoming a celebrity, infamously, you know, saying that his son is better than all the players of all time. And now they have a $495 shoes, and his son hasn't even played in the NBA yet. I mean, it's, you know, it's just what can you say? The way how this story lines is like he plays for the Knicks already. The way how these crazy storylines is going out already. But you know, moving on. Let's talk about Backlash. Who do you think's gonna win, Ty Dillinger versus Aiden English? I say Ty Dillinger because Aiden English, after, you know, his group, what was the name of the group again? Vaudevillains. Simon Gotch got, you know, released. You know, basically he's had a crying gimmick, which some people think they're making fun of the former SmackDown announcer, Mauro Ranallo, you know, in that skit.
Yeah, I'm going to agree with you. I'm going to go Dillinger here.
All right. And Eric Rowan versus Luke Harper. Definitely Luke Harper for sure.
Yeah, I'll go with Luke Harper as well.
Absolutely. And Luke Harper is like, he practically disappeared. They kind of made him non-existent once Bray Wyatt got,
traded.
Moved. Yeah, traded or drafted to, Raw. And SmackDown's been weakened by this move. But I think Luke Harper is going to get the win. Definitely, no doubt about that. Then you got Baron Corbin versus Sami Zayn. Sami Zayn, he's kind of like a jobber, a fan favorite kind of jobber, the way how WWE kind of views him. So I think Sami Zayn's gonna lose this, even though he's a fan favorite.
This could go either way.
Yeah, you're right.
But I'm gonna go with Baron Corbin.
Mm-hmm. And the tag team match: Becky Lynch, Naomi, Charlotte versus Carmella, Natalya, and Tamina. Definitely the Becky, Naomi, and Charlotte's gonna win this one, and I think Charlotte's gonna get the figure eight locked in on probably Carmella or Natalya. I could see one of those two ladies getting tapped out.
Wow, I disagree. I think the welcoming committee is gonna win this one. I think you know it's definitely gonna be seeing Tamina back now. You know, I think it's gonna be different with these girls. I think Natalya, Carmella, and Tamina get the win.
Well, we'll see about that tomorrow. I disagree, but, we'll see what happens. Then the SmackDown tag team match, Usos versus Breezango. I think Breezango is going to win this because Breezango has gotten surprisingly popular after they started doing the L.A. Law gimmick, with their fashion police. So I think, Fandango hasn't been this popular since he changed his song, to the popular ever since he had that. He hasn't been this popular since then, so I think he's going to definitely get the victory on this one.
Yeah, I don't see it. I see the Usos retaining the tag team. I still don't take Breezango seriously.
That's true.
Yeah.
You know what? Yeah. You know what? You kind of did. You know what? You kind of twisted my arm because the New Day is supposed to come back, and most likely they're gonna feud. They're going to fight a villain, unless Breezango turns heel again. You know what? You might have a point there.
That's probably what SmackDown has been missing. New Day.
Yeah, exactly. So I changed my mind. Take an imaginary pencil, scratch off what I said, and I'm gonna agree with you. The Usos. I mean, they're gonna retain it. So, switching gears, Shinsuke Nakamura versus Dolph Ziggler, hands down Nakamura is gonna win this one. They're finally going to go head-to-head. I mean, the build-up has been horrible, but the match is going to be awesome. So, looking forward to seeing that one.
Yeah, I'm going with Nakamura as well.
And then you have Kevin Owens versus AJ Styles, which should have been for the WWE Championship, but instead it's for the United States title. And I think Kevin Owens is going to retain. I think AJ Styles is going to chase the title a little bit before he wins it, maybe at SummerSlam. So Kevin Owens wins.
Yeah, that's what I'm thinking. I think AJ will probably win at SummerSlam. I think Kevin Owens will find a way to retain it somehow. So, yeah, I'll go Kevin Owens on this one.
And last but not least, Jinder Mahal in his first title opportunity will go one-on-one against the Viper, the 13-time WWE, world champion because, you know, he had WWE World Heavyweight and all these other titles. So he's going to put his title on the line. And both contenders have – both, you know, pugilists have their own controversy. You know, Jinder Mahal, he's, you know, he adopted the foreigner gimmick that, you know, many of the heels have had in the past. Most recently, Rusev, or even going back to the Iron Sheik, you know. You know, he's going to go head-to-head with Randy Orton, who recently criticized people, you know, the wrestlers, the independent wrestlers who do a bunch of high-flying stuff, and they don't sell as much, and a lot of people got offended because, you know, Randy Orton is, you know, according to them, entitled because, you know, he wouldn't be making all this money if WWE wasn't, you know, behind them. So he shouldn't be throwing stones at people trying to make a living. So what's your thoughts on who's going to win tomorrow night?
I think Jinder Mahal is going to get a stun Randy Orton and get the title. You know, I think he's clearly on PEDs, you know.
And, for sure.
You know, and I think the WWE is trying to give him a major push right now. And I think, you know, yeah, I think making him beat Randy Orton for the title, that's even going to put him over the top. So I see him shocking the world tomorrow in that that championship.
I could see it happening. I would never in a million years would I ever assume that Jinder Mahal would ever beat Randy Orton in a 101 man handicap match.
Yeah.
But WWE, you know, they're recently trying to they recently developed a relationship with India. So, you know, they definitely want to develop a star from there, even though apparently Jinder Mahal is from Canada. But for storyline purposes, you know, making him a champion could help their brand. So I do think eventually Jinder Mahal will get the title. But I think Backlash, Randy Orton will retain the title. So that's my thoughts there. So, you know, with that, you know, I want to thank you, Mac, for coming on the show.
Thank you.
I appreciate it, as always. And, of course, ladies and gentlemen, I want to thank you for listening to another episode of Sports and the Legend. I'm William Ramo. He's Macaulay Matthew. And I'll see you guys next week with the review of Backlash, what went down. Is it a good pay-per-view event? Did it stink? We'll tell you. We'll give you our honest opinion. So with that, without further ado, we'll see you guys next week. Peace. Thank you.